Morning, church. You know, I love to call the church family, and I believe that it's okay for me to call us a family, isn't it? So good morning again, family. I am very grateful to the Lord and also thankful to Pastor Steve and to the leadership and all of you for inviting me today to share God's word with you. It's such an honor to fellowship with you today. If I, the moment we enter here, the Lord just spoke to me about concerning the scripture that our leader read for us, Isaiah 43. It was for me, and I'm very thankful. I just want you to know that I'm here to fellowship with you, so I'm also receiving from you today. It's a blessing to be among you. And my husband, Mr. Nelson, is with me here today. And our last born, Godwin, also accompanied us to worship with you today. Let us pray. Eternal Father, we thank you so much for such an honor to come and fellowship with my family here. I am grateful to you for this opportunity. Here is your own daughter, the person that you rescued, the person that you have been with to this far. I am here submitting myself to you. Will you please speak to me, speak through me, and speak for me. Let Christ alone be glorified in our midst. We present our hearts unto you, Lord, that you make our heart to become a good soil that will receive your word and bring forth a hundredfold of fruits and over. This is our desire, that in these particular times, we will be encouraged and strengthened as we walk with you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Steve told me that we are studying. Now, I put myself together with you as a family. We are studying the book of Matthew 13, the Proverbs. So without taking much time, shall we read Matthew 13 verses 31? That is the passage our dear pastor gave to me. Matthew 13. And I am from Trinity Baptist Church, Oasis House, Croydon. That is where I serve as a minister under Pastor Kingsley Apiaje ministry. Yeah, so we are reading from Matthew 13 verses 31-33. I'm reading from NIV version. He told them another parable, that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seed, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and become a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. And when I was reading this parable, I reflect on it, and I thought that we should also take the same parable from Mark chapter 4 verses 30. And then we will see the other variants of this particular parable. Mark chapter 4 verses 30-32. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which it is the smallest of all seed on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and become the largest of all garden plants, which such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." And then we will take from Luke chapter 13, Luke chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden." You know, the variance is what I'm trying to drag us at. Matthew talks about the seed was sown into the field. And Mark also said in the earth. Luke also is saying that in the garden. That means that the kingdom of God can be planted at these three places. Either you sow it into the field, or you sow it into the earth, or you sow it into your garden. So this is what the variance that I'm trying to catch up here. So what does the kingdom of God in this parable of the mustard seed and the leaven represent? The point one, I send the PowerPoint. So I will be reading. I know that the Baptist ministers, we do study more, but we preach little. So I will be going faster, and because of that, I will be reading through here and make some point. First, the kingdom of God is the universal church of Christ. You know, when God created the earth, the Bible says, Isaiah 66 verses 1 says that the heavens is the throne of God and the earth is it's his footstool. So God created the heavens and make the earth to be an extension of his kingdom. So that is what the earth that we are living in. And we are the one that represents our Father, God, on this earth. Until Adam and Eve lost it in the Garden of Eden, the earth was completely under the domain, under the ruling and then the dominion of God. But now, let me not be too much emphasized here. Now, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, God rule and reign on earth through the church. God reigns in all the affairs of the earth. The kingdoms, the kings, and the governments, God rule. But his rulership is through us, is through his church. That is why Christ came to inaugurate the church again, so that God himself will have people that can represent him fully on the earth. So the kingdom that Christ was trying to teach us here is the universal church of Christ, which is the shadow of the ultimate kingdom that is to come. And this is often referred as the kingdom that is both now and yet. And we will see Luke chapter 17 verses 21. The Bible says that nor when people say, look here, it is there. Look here, it is. Or there it is. For the kingdom of God is among you because of my presence. So wherever the presence of God is, wherever the presence of Christ is, wherever the name of Jesus is being mentioned, the kingdom of God is there. That is why Jesus said that wherever two or three of you gather in my name, I am there. And every kingdom has a king. And Christ is the king of our kingdom. Hallelujah. And so wherever we are, we represent the kingdom. The church is the representative of the kingdom of God. And then the local churches, the kingdom of God is compared to a small mustard seed, symbolize how God's kingdom starts as small, as individual community churches, but grows into something significant and expansive that offers refuge and blessings to many. And we are that local church. So we are not just a small people. We represent the entire kingdom of God in our sphere of influence. So that should encourage us that we as a church, we are the one, if God is counting on people, it is us that God is counting. God has intentionally planted every local church to represent him so that his kingdom can expand through all the earth. And the birds that the parable talks about also represent the inclusivity. The birds represent inclusivity. The good news of salvation is of Christ is for the whole world. It is for all those who come to the saving knowledge of Christ through the gospel that we preach, according to John chapter 1, verses 12. Yet to all who did receive him, those who believe in his name, he gave them right to become the children of God. So the birds represent the inclusivity. Everyone who will hear the gospel and receive it, God gives them power to become a member of his family. So the mustard seed that become a tree and become expansive to bring many home to God himself is also represent the inclusivity. God is counting on us that we will bear fruit so that others also will come to know him. So it is inclusivity kingdom that God also has given to us. And the leaven also represent the transformative power of God's word, which spread quietly but truthfully, changes everything that touches. The three measures of dough symbolize the spirit, soul, and the body of every believer. The word of God acts as a catalyst. When we truly receive the word into our spirit, it takes charge over our soul and produces its fruits, which impacts the world around us. So when a man or when a person receives the true word, the undiluted gospel, and receives it truthfully into their hearts, the word itself takes charge over their souls and bring fruit for many people to see the kingdom nature, the Christ-likeness in us to affect many people around us. So that is the living also represent. So now, let us look at the parable. What does the parable means for us today? In fact, when you are preaching or teaching about the parable of Christ, it is always important not to overemphasize. That is why I put for us today. Because today it will mean for what we want to talk about today. But tomorrow another minister will speak about the same parable, but it will mean another powerful also thing for us. So when you are dealing with parables, we need to be careful not to overemphasize. So for today, the parable, what does the parable means to us today? Number one, this is the main point, please. I want you to pay attention for me. The Bible says that Jesus made that comparison to teach us that the beginning of the kingdom will start as small as the mustard seed and silent as leaven. Its strength might often appear weaker, seemingly insignificant, confused. The world will see us that the church is confused. We are not significant. And many believers has become discouraged, and even the world does not want to hear the gospel again. They doesn't want to hear the name church. Discouraged, weird, and unpopular. But its letter shall be greatly increased. Jesus showed us that the message of the internal life look cheap, small, but its letter would be greatly increased. So the number one is the power of a small beginning. Irrespective of how you see yourself as a member of the kingdom, irrespective of how we receive the Woodside Baptist Church, irrespective of how the people outside see us, irrespective of how the world consider the church now, but look at how the church started. The church started with a man called Jesus Christ, a 30-year-old man, serving three and a half years ministry with just a handful of ordinary women and men. And look at what they have done to the whole earth. 2,000 years ago,
Kingdom has rose against the church. Government has rose. The empires has rose against the church. But the more they oppress the church, because the church is the kingdom of the living God. We represent Elohim, the Adonai, the Yahweh, Jehovah, the creator and the sustainer of the universe. Because we represent him, and it is him himself who came down to become a man, went to the cross and died and rose again on the third day and ascended to heaven, no matter the persecution that the church will go through, the church will continue to thrive. That is the kingdom God has given to us. So this morning I am here to encourage you. Don't be discouraged about what the world sees us. Yes, it is true. How can you overcome the world which is so much hatred with love? How can you overcome this world, win this world to God with humility, where people carry guns and bombs and a whole lot of hate to the people, and you are coming saying that my kingdom, the nature of my kingdom is love, compassion, and humility? We look so cheap and so weak. People see the church as the weak, but we are the power force that will bring the changes that the world is looking for. We are the answer to this world. So please don't be discouraged. Don't throw in the towel yet, because the kingdom is not yet fully manifest. And even what we see now, the emperors that has come before us, all of them push the church. They try to squish the church. They try to kill the church. But the more they do, look at now what is happening around us. So many countries where when you mention that you are Christian, you need to go underground. Some people are hiding, but the church is growing there. That is the power God has given to us. Hallelujah. So the church is unstoppable. There is nothing that you can do with the church. So if you are here, be rest assured that we are marching forward. A time is coming, the world will look for us. The time is coming, they will come to us, because we have the answer for the many questions that is going on. Hallelujah. The parable also shows us that God often uses small things and unassuming ways to accomplish greater things. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He is self-sufficient and can do whatever he wants to do with anyone and with anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was a Muslim. I was born in Islam, raised in Islam. Both my parents were Muslims. How can it be if it is not the kingdom of God? How can it be that a young daughter born and raised as a Muslim carried the gospel and preached to many nations? That is the power of the kingdom. When you plant it, either you plant it in your garden or you plant it in the field or on the earth, it will expand. That is the kingdom. So God uses ordinary things, like somebody like me and you and others. God uses ordinary things. You know, when we talk about the ordinary things, example that I can give to you biblically is Adam and Eve. The Bible says, according to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that man was made from the dust. Why God did not make us from clay? You know, clay, you can get so many treasures from the clay. But why God took dust to make man? And look at the inventions that men are able to do. We saw it this weekend or somewhere, that a man can put explosive in some small gadgets and sitting in his room or somewhere and just press a button, and anyone who carries the gadgets, boom. Have you seen how God takes ordinary things? Men that were made from dust were able to create all the inventions that we see. inventions that go to the heavens to search the sky to see. The inventions that go deep to the earth, under the sea to see things. Look at what dust has made and is still making. This is how God takes ordinary things. Sarah, Abraham and Sarah and their descendants. Why did God waited for Abraham and Sarah's womb become as good as theirs before God gave them Isaac? So that shows that God can take anything and use anything at all for whatever he wants to do. And also we know the rod of Moses. How can the rod perform so much miracles? That has never happened. How can a rod and how can a stone kill a giant, a warrior? David stones. And how can Gideon took men to go for war 3,000 and God reduced them to 300. How can men? How can God does that? He takes ordinary things. And look at Jesus and his disciples. Just a handful of people. And now look at everywhere the gospel is being preached. Hallelujah. The second one is the power of the mustard seed. The parable symbolizes the potency of the little faith you have in the Lord. You don't need a big faith. You don't need big faith for changes. You don't need it. God doesn't need that big. The little that you have is God wanted to use to do mighty things. So the power of the mustard seed faith. The parable shows us the potency of the little faith you have in the Lord, which can positively impact the world around you if it is strategically planted. The faith you have now is all that you need. It's all that you need. The Bible says that when a woman takes a leaven and mix it with a dough, it transforms it. So just as a leaven silently transforms a dough and mustard seed take time to reach its full potential, the parable teaches us that to trust God's timing. I know we are living in a time where people go by evidence base, is seeing and believing. When you see it, then you can believe. And people say that the heavens help those who help themselves. This is not scripture. God doesn't need our help. He can choose to do, and he can do with anything and anyone. So when you see a thing before you believe it, then you don't need faith. For example, if I need money for food shopping, and I have money with me to go to Tesco's or Sainsbury's and buy. So why should I need faith to trust God? But here is the case. If you don't have it, but you are in need, that is where the faith comes in. So the little faith that you have, the Bible says that we should give God time. Let the faith, the little that you have alone, be a catalyst for you to receive. Maybe you are believing God for the changes in your family. You want God to bring your child home. You want your marriage. God should restore your marriage. Maybe it is your health. Don't think beyond the little faith. Maybe it could be that just one scripture that you have heard, that by his stripes I am healed. Just base your faith on it and let God take his part. Hallelujah. Number three, the power of silence. There are stages in this life that everyone will go through. But can we give God worse time? Can we give God time? Can we give God time? Sometimes, because we are living in the world, that everything is fast, 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 fast. You can sit in your room, papa, papa, and everything that you need will come. So we are walking with God in the same manner. When we need something, we're expecting God to do it now, because everything is now. Yesterday we ordered something from Amazon. I couldn't believe myself. Within a few hours, the Amazon man was standing there. So when you are walking with God and you have been praying for 1 year and nothing is happening, you'll be tempted to believe what the world is saying. that the word does not work. No, the word work. It is our duty to give God time and give his word time. The word does work. Believe in me, the word does work. The healing will come. The restoration will come. The breakthrough will come. Everything you are needing will come. Whatever you are believing God for will come. Let us be patient with God. Because the Bible says that after your patience is fully worked, God will give you the crown of those that he has promised them. It's a matter of you believing and trusting God's timing. Let us trust the process. Because there are stations in life, some of the places when you are traveling, you will reach some place where you need to do transit, isn't it? Some of the places you need to wait a little bit and catch up the next train or the next bus or the next flight. Some of the places you need to change the routes. Some of the places you need to go and lodge somewhere and find yourself at rest stop. You need to get water, food. There are stations in life, but let us believe in God in the present because he is our loving God. The Bible says that if he is able to give us his only son, what else that he will not give to us? Let's wait. Hallelujah. Number four, it is also teaches us to understand how delicate our faith and salvation is in this world. This understanding should help us to be fully committed and trusting God with everything we do and whatever he has given to us so that we can become fruitful. The mustard seed is very tiny. Your salvation, the faith you have in the Lord for your salvation, is like a mustard seed. If you are not careful and you drop it, it can mix in the sand. If you are not careful and you treated it anyhow, you can lose the mustard seed. So the mustard seed, Jesus is trying to tell us that it is quite delicate, but so precious. So keep it tight. Hallelujah. And the kingdom of heaven is essentially inward, existing within a person. It is not so far. It exists in you. That is, you know, Christ is in you. That is the life you have. The kingdom is right there with you. Number six, the kingdom is within your reach if you make that right choice. The Bible says that nobody should say that, as we read from Luke 17, that where can we find it? It's there. He said that the kingdom is right there. Because the birds will come to the tree. That means that it is reachable. Everybody can have it if we can make a right choice. So I would like to challenge you here. Maybe you are part of the church. You come to church, all right. But deep down you are not sure that you are saved. Now the kingdom of God is here. Because Christ is here. You can reach out to him. Hallelujah. And then the seventh is that the kingdom of God is in your midst, in the person, in the presence of Jesus Christ. So what is the application of this parable? How can we apply this parable? The seed that we have, the kingdom that you have is like a mustard seed. But Jesus is telling us that a man took, Matthew said a man put it into the field. And then Luke says that into a garden or earth. And then Mark also said into earth. So where are you planting the seed? You have the seed in you. The kingdom of God is right in you, as the Bible has already made known to us. It depends on where you plant it. So either you plant it in your garden, you plant it on the field, or you plant it on the earth. So it's like wherever you are, you can plant the kingdom of God there. Where God has put you, the people God has put you among, the people around you, at your workplace, in your home, in your community, in your city, the kingdom of God is in your hands as a mustard seed. So you must sow it. If you don't sow it, it becomes small.
Because it will remain the same with you. You yourself know Christ. You yourself know the kingdom. But the kingdom needs to be planted and grow and expand so that many people will take refuge. So the kingdom that is in your hands is like little. And it could be the faith that you have, the little faith. You know, when you make a step of faith, that is where your faith grows in everything. If you make a step of faith, that is where your faith become growing, start growing. If you don't sow it, it will remain little. So make a step of faith and plant the seed. And don't drop it. That is the second application. Don't drop it. I know the going has become tough. The hope you have for something to happen is slow. It doesn't make sense. When people look at you, it's like, remember that God takes the foolish things of this earth to shine the wise. He takes the weak things. Don't drop your faith. Don't drop your Christian life. Don't drop the salvation. Let the word pursue. Don't drop it. The leaders of the Baptist church, you know that our forefathers of the Baptist church, some of them died when they hung them on the stock, burning them. Some of them, they were refused even burial. When they died, they refused them on this land because of their faith. So don't throw yours. Don't throw the kingdom that you have. Challenge, yes, is there. But at the end, when you cross to the other side, at the end, the Bible says, as we read Isaiah 43, that do not look back what is going on yesterday. That means even the 1 minute ago, but knowing that God is doing a new thing. So don't drop your faith. People are mocking us. People are ridicule us. People does not respect us anymore, but don't throw your faith. Don't throw your salvation. And don't despise it. It's small, but don't despise it. Because at the end, that is where we will see the glory of the kingdom that is in us. Don't despise it. And don't be careless with it. Please. Don't be careless. Don't plant it anyhow. Don't drop it anyhow. Keep it precious. Because if you do, you can miss it. Hallelujah. Now, in conclusion, if God can use one man and just a handful of people for just 3.5 years, that means that God can use you. Wherever you are, God can use you to expand his kingdom. And the little that you do, God can use it. It could be that your smile. When we were coming, we saw a beautiful lady at the entrance. I think she's the one, the way she smiled. If I am a new member coming to find family here, I will come back because of the smile. You know, the reason I became a Baptist, I was sent to a Baptist church back home. I am African Ghanaian. I'm from Ghana. Somebody introduced a church close to us. I went to that church. And when they call the new members, you know, they welcome new members. So when they call, I got up and they asked me my name, and I said that I was having a Muslim name. But you know what? God is God. He is omniscient indeed. My dad sent me to missions school. So I went to Anglican school. And he gave me a name, Elizabeth. Maybe he didn't know what he was doing, but it was a prophetic. God was using him to introduce me to the church. So it came to a point at the age of 25. Somebody told me that there is a church somewhere. And I went to that church. It was a Baptist church. And when I went there, they asked me my name, and I said my name. And a woman came from far away, sitting far, because the church was very big. The woman came with her choir robe and came from there and hugged me. You know, the woman also was called Betty Elizabeth. So that hug kept me in that church. The way the reception that the woman gave to me kept me in that church. So it could be that it is your reception. People may not recognize what you are doing. Sometimes people will take what you are doing in the church for granted, but please don't drop it. People may not see you. Maybe yours is prayer, praying for God's church. I took it as a privilege for somebody like me praying for God's kingdom. By now, I should be a member of Hamas or Hezbollah or ISIS. But grace has found me. So I take everything in God's kingdom as a privilege and honor. So if yours is prayer, just be on your private place and pray. Nobody sees you, but God sees what you are doing. Maybe yours is taking your phone to call the members just to check up on them. Do it. You don't need a big platform before you sow the kingdom seed God has given to you. It could be that maybe you cook. You can cook a very good food, a very delicious. Do it. Maybe yours is to come and do cleaning. Nobody will recognize you because that is the men. Men see outward, but God sees inward. Whatever gift that God has given to you, do not allow anybody to discourage you or despise you. And we also, we don't need to despise anybody. The little seed that they have could be the catalyst of the church. So do not let anybody discourage you. Do what you can do. Because what you can do is what Christ has given to you. God has not given everything to one man. That makes him so much powerful. He is all-knowing God. He knows that if he give it to all to one person, we will be sold out. And that is why the Bible says that when he ascended, he gave to men. Everyone has something to offer. So it is time for you and me to sow what you have. Don't discard it. Be careful where you sow it. This church can turn this city around. This church, I believe, this church can turn all the city, can change the heart of people, can change even the crime that is going on. This church alone, God does not need much. All he needs is you. You are the one that is counted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The only letter of recommendation we need is you and me. Our lives are a letter written for others to read and know Christ and his finishing work of the cross. Shall we bow our heads? I believe the Lord has spoken to you. The little that you have, the faith that you have, don't discard it. Now, people does not believe that God can heal, but God heals. I am a living testimony. I am a living testimony that God heals. I am healed completely from a deadly pestilence that the enemy threw against me. I am a living testimony. If God can pick men from the bottom, I am a living testimony. If God can make a way, I am a living testimony. Is God able? I am a living testimony. God work. Don't discard your faith. Don't discard your faith. Talk to God at this moment. God can change that child. God can bring that child home. God can restore. Everything seems lost. It's not over until our Father says it's over. Thank you, Jesus. At this point, if you don't know Christ, could you take this opportunity and receive him? Because the kingdom is at your reach. You can reach him. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.